Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Father, we ask that your name be glorified today. As we pour out our worship, we pour out our praise, and we come before you to gather together so that we may sing your praises, we may come to you in prayer, and we may be transformed by the preaching and the teaching of God's word. So be with us as we hear from the word this morning. Be with Brother Cal as he delivers the sermon. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen. It is a good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If you're Baptist, go ahead and rejoice. If you're not Baptist, go ahead and rejoice. You already know how to. Amen. All right. It's a joy to be with you all today. I got a message that's been burning in my bones. Preachers, if you haven't noticed this or not, they've got a bad case of we just can't help it. And we've got to get that to you. And so, you know, I can't get a message for y'all until I get one for me. Y'all with me? All right, let's rise and we're going to read. We're going to be in Luke, and we're going to be in the Gospel of John as well today. I want to start there at Luke chapter 1, verse 15. It's talking about John the Baptist here. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. What a wonderful thing that would be to have said of you, that he or she will be great in the sight of the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Listen to verse 66. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Father, bless and honor your word today. We lift up the written word and we lift up the living word. Thank you for the word. And God, give us the courage to just say yes this morning. Yes to whatever it is you're calling us to do and to become. In your powerful name we pray, amen. Amen. Please be seated. This is the year, our theme this year is an open door in 24. And we have seen already halfway through the year that God has opened up a lot of doors of opportunity for us. And God has opened up a door of prayer. I don't know if you've heard about the unceasing prayer movement that's going on in our community and in our church. Tonight at midnight, we're going to pray for 24 hours, solid. If you're not on the list, get on the list. And you can pray for 30 minutes. We'll help you to get that done. And so there's an open door of prayer. There's an open door of witnessing and baptisms. Did y'all know that we have baptized more than the fiscal year? Our calendar year with the church calendar ends at the end of August. We've already baptized more people at this time of the year than any other year we've had. Hallelujah. God has opened up that door of witnessing. In fact, God's opened up the door of serving. We've got people serving in different areas and different places. God has opened up the door of missions. We've been to the Dominican Republic, and we're going to keep going to the Dominican Republic. God's opened up a door of giving. Did you all know? Well, you don't know, but if this doesn't just jump your bones right now, something's wrong. Did you all know that the church has given $80,000 more at this time of the year than we did last year. And last year was a record year of giving. Hallelujah. When you give, we can help more folks. When you give, we can help more folks and be involved in more ministry. God has opened up the door of rock solid truth this year. We've been preaching truth. Our young people, our children have been learning about rock solid truths in Sunday school and Bible study and vacation Bible school. But another door that I want to talk about that God's opening up here at Second Mile Church, He is opening up the door for Spirit-filled, Spirit-led living. Amen. It has been my prayer that God will fill every believer with His Spirit. On a regular basis, not just at salvation, but all every day of our lives. And you remember on Mother's Day, we preached on about Elizabeth, a Spirit-filled woman in the family. She was a wife and a mama. And then on Father's Day, we preached on old Zachariah. You remember him? He was a Spirit-filled husband and father. Well, this morning I want to talk about their son. Their young son, because he was a young person who was filled by the Spirit of God. Even from his mama's womb, this boy was Spirit-filled. I mean, there was something about old John. Amen? Now, wasn't everything positive about John? John had, you know, he was an only child with old parents. John had trouble relating to people. Did you know that? I mean, this cat, he had long hair. He had an unbelievable, some kind of weird diet. His clothing closet was totally out of style. I mean, this dude was different. And he had a dry wilderness experience as a young man. And he was very blunt. He was very brash. He spoke to the leading political leader of his day. And he was so blunt and so brash with him that he wound up in jail as a common criminal. And eventually he was executed. But did you know what Jesus said about his cousin John? Of those born of women, there's none greater than John. Do you know why I think John was so great in the sight of the Lord? It's because he was filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. He followed the leadership of the Spirit of God in his life. He was submitted. He was surrendered. He was yielded to the Spirit of the living God. What if every family at Second Mile Church was filled by the Spirit of Almighty God? We'd turn the world upside down. That's what would happen. Hallelujah. So that's what I've been praying for. So this morning we're going to look at the life of John the Baptist, and who just happened to be a young person. How many young people do we have here today? I'm not going to qualify that, so... All right. By the way, it's great to have our BCM boys and girls back with us. God bless you all. Thank God for y'all. And we're going to draw some truths from his life and make some application for our lives this morning. So, if you're ready, now, this was my fault, but the first point on your handout is in Luke, not John, okay? So the Spirit's filling, first of all, prepares us for ministry. The Spirit of God prepares us for ministry. And we just read about those verses there in John chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 and verse 66. And so the first way that God prepares people for ministry through the Holy Spirit is in your home. Right there in your home. Some of you young people say, Brother Cal, you ain't been to my house lately. Yes, God prepares people for ministry right there in the home. Now, you all know what a godly parents John had, right? The Bible describes that Elizabeth and Zacharias were godly people. They were righteous and blameless. And don't you know, they began to, at a very young age, they began to pour the Word of God into their young son. I mean, they began to address him. They knew that he was the fulfillment of Malachi 3 in verse 1. They knew that their son had the spirit of Elijah. He would prepare people for the coming of the Lord, for the coming Messiah. And so they began to pour into him like nobody's business. And you parents, let me just say something. Your child is just as special as John the Baptist. Pour into them. Now, there's nothing wrong with your kids being athletes. Nothing wrong with that. You can learn some great lessons. But let me just tell you, is it more important to make a great athlete out of your kid or a great disciple of Jesus Christ? Get your priorities straight. Oh, if I hadn't made somebody mad, I've made everybody mad already. And so that's what they're doing. Can't you just imagine? Now, remember, Zacharias was a priest. And so don't you know he took little John. Come on, John, we're going to the temple today. And John's sitting there watching his daddy lay those sacrifices up on that altar, and the fire would come down and consume the sacrifice. He watched as he was burning incense. And I can just see, I'm reading between the lines now, but don't you know, Zacharias must have at some point in time turned around and said, John, your young cousin up there in Nazareth will one day become the sacrifice for sins for the whole world. And I bet your mama had something to say too. Can't you just imagine Elizabeth and John sitting outside under the evening sky and looking at those stars? Honey, one of these days your cousin Jesus is going to make the announcement that he's the light of the world. Young people, listen to me. I look back at my life. I had no clue when I was growing up, but God was preparing me for ministry right there in my home. And he'll do the same for you. First thing that the Holy Spirit does in our lives is he begins to prepare us for ministry right there in the home. But John was also being prepared for ministry in a dry desert experience called the wilderness. Now, some of the most barren, dry, deserted place on the planet is along the banks of the Dead Sea. Now, John knew that he was set apart and called of God. And he knew that he was a Nazarite. And, let me just tell you what it meant to be a Nazarite. As a Nazarite, he was just simply being set apart for God to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And he had long hair because that was a sign of dedication to the Lord. Next time your mom wants you to cut your hair, boys, just tell them, hey, I'm dedicated to the Lord. See how that goes for you. He couldn't touch a dead body, a human or an animal, because that would make him unclean. And he wasn't to consume alcohol either. He wasn't to be under the control and influence of alcohol. He was to be under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit. And so God's preparing this young man for ministry. And God takes him out along the banks of the Dead Sea. How many of y'all have been to the Dead Sea area? A few of you have been. I mean, that's one of the driest, most desert, wilderness places that you can go. And as a very young man, Luke chapter 1 and verse 80 says, so the child grew and became strong in the spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. So as a very young man, probably as a teenager, John went out to the banks of the... He knew what it was like to be alone with God. He knew what it was like to have a dry, just wilderness experience with the Lord. And can I say to all you young folks, you may be having some type of dark experience in your life right now and you don't understand it. That's okay. Because you know what God's doing in that wilderness experience? He's preparing you for a fabulous ministry. Look at your neighbor and say, God can do it. Even in the desert. And so out there in that wilderness area, God is preparing John to become the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And what a ministry God was going to give him, but he's preparing him. Now you do know that before John could prepare the people, God had to prepare John. He doesn't call the prepared, he prepares the called. He doesn't prepare. He doesn't call the prepared. He prepares the called. Amen. That was a little better. God's in the preparation business. And He's preparing all of us, even senior adults. The things you've been through that have happened to you, those dark experiences, those desert wilderness experiences, God uses everything to prepare us for ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's the first point. So don't neglect that. Young people, God's preparing you right now for ministry. Don't you back up, slack up, or give up. You just stay with the stuff. If you are 16 to 24, would you just stand to your feet? 16 to 24, just stand to your feet. Sharon Clark, pray for these young people of ours, would you? Y'all keep standing. Don't sit down. She's going to pray over y'all.
Yes. Yes.
No such thing as a junior spirit. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you order the steps of each of these young people, Father God. That, Lord, you will give them dreams, Father God, of what you have for them.
Yes.
Now, Father, you begin to show them the path that you want them on.
Yes, Father. Hallelujah.
Lord, they will walk in the obedience that you give them, Father God. And what you require of them, Father God, they will know that you have already prepared them for this. We pray for protection around them, Father God. We pray, Father God, that when the enemy comes against them, they will recognize that and they will get on their knees before you, crying out for that protection.
Amen.
And that, Lord, they will feel the sword of the Spirit as your word. Nobody can stand against your word. Bless them, Lord, their appearance. Let them pray. Let them be a witness to their praise, Father God. Yes. Let them, Father God, speak forth truth that every one of these young people will bring men to Christ. Yes. That they will bring men to Christ. Bless them, Father. Protect them. Show them how much you really love them. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Please be seated. Casey, you ready to charge hell with a water pistol? You get Sharon to pray for you. Amen. By the way, this brother got engaged this weekend. Hallelujah. You're being prepared for ministry, let me tell you, brother. Hallelujah. All right. Second point. What's the first one? The Holy Spirit's filling does what? Prepares us for y'all, I'm following an outline. If you got one, just follow along with me, okay? Second point, the Spirit's filling provides a message. If you're Spirit-filled, God's going to give you a message. A message. Now, we're in John now, John's Gospel, chapter 1. I love this verse, Billy. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God. That word sent is our word that we get for missionary. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. Hallelujah. John was a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a witness. He was a testimony. He was a had been given a message for the children of Israel. Now, just exactly what was his witness? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me just read this for you in Mark chapter 1, verse 4. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River. You wouldn't go down to the river to be sprinkled. We believe in doing things the way Jesus did them, not putting that experience down. But just if you really want to follow Jesus, do things the way he did them. Amen? And we're all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And so John was a witness for the light. Light is one of the themes in John's gospel. And so John was given a witness to the light. You remember how John described one day Jesus was coming down to the Jordan. He says, there's the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the whole world. He's coming down here. And then John baptized him. Whew, I would have loved to have been there for that baptism. Glory to God. And so what was John's message? It was a message of repentance. Repentance. And the outward sign that someone had repented of their sin, y'all stay with me, that repentance had taken place on the inside was baptism. And I want to tell you, there were thousands coming out to hear John preach on the banks of the Dead Sea. Thousands of them. And Jewish historians have estimated that John baptized over 300,000 folks. You telling me God didn't use this brother? He was filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. And by the way, repentance does get people ready for Jesus. You can't be saved if you're not willing to turn from your sin. Repentance means you're so sick and sorry and have such a godly sorrow for your sin that you want to turn from that and turn away from it. That's the Bible word for repentance. And so John had a message of repentance. He was a witness. And by the way, you're a witness if you're a believer. You're a witness. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're a witness. You've got a message. John's message was turn or burn, repent or perish, get right or get left. It was a message of repentance, and repentance, that provides the way for Jesus to come in. I'm going to say something right now that might disturb you a little bit, but I want you to listen to these two verses. John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, that's the Holy Spirit, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The number one sign that you're filled by the Spirit of Almighty God is that you are a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're not witnessing for Jesus Christ and you're not giving that message that he's delivered to you, then you need to get filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. That's what's wrong in the Baptist church. That's why we don't witness more than we should, because we don't have the power and the filling of the Spirit of Almighty God. Hello! We need to be filled by the Spirit, because when you're filled by the Spirit, you're going to do the things that the Spirit does, and the Spirit testifies of Him. That, if you don't hear anything else today, hear that. That's why I say we need to be filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. John was a witness. John was also bold and humble in his witness. Now, I don't... you'll find this in Luke chapter 3 and verse 7. I don't have time to go there. But John's out there preaching on the banks of the Dead Sea. He was bold. And thousands were coming out to hear him, hear his message of repentance. And one day, all these religious leaders show up. Pharisees, Sadducees, religious folks. And John, you know how John greets them? He says, "Hello, rattlesnakes. I'm so glad y'all are here. By the way, has anybody told you about the wrath to come? If you don't turn, you're going to burn. You need to do fruits, take on fruits of repentance, works of repentance. If you don't, it doesn't do you any good to be related to Abraham. Can I just tell you, you're not going to get to heaven on somebody's coattails. Hello?" And so John was bold in his witness. He even spoke to King Herod boldly. And by the way, King Herod was sleeping, and he was doing more than sleeping, with his sister-in-law, his brother Philip's wife. And guess what old John said? "King, Mr. King, you're doing something that is not right. Stop it. It's against God's law. You're under judgment for doing that." And for all his trouble, you know what King Herod did with John? He had him thrown in jail as a common criminal. He was bold. He was bold in his witness. But he was also humble in his witness. Yeah, by the way, we need to be truthful, but we need to be loving. Now, I'm not talking about this ooey-gooey type of love. I'm talking about loving people enough to know that we're giving them the truth, and yet they at the same time know we care about them. Amen. I want to tell you, young people, they don't care about how much you know. They want to know how much you care. And so I could preach a sermon right there, but I'll stay off of that. But John was humble in his witness. Listen to this. Let me just tell you about it. People... As Jesus showed up on the scene, people began to leave John's ministry and follow Jesus. And he realized that he wasn't that light. John realized, "I'm not the master, I'm just the messenger." And now that Jesus is on the scene, I've done my ministry. I prepared people for the coming of the Messiah. He's here. And so he must increase, I've got to decrease. And by the way, when you're witnessing to folks, you just remember it's only by the grace of God that you've been saved. It's a wonder God would save anybody. Amen? And so God provides a message for those who are filled by the Spirit of God. And then thirdly and finally, the Spirit's filling has a purpose in our mission. Let me read John 1, verse 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." Listen to this. "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. The Spirit's filling has a purpose as we go on mission for Him. And by the way, if you didn't know it, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Lord Jesus. That was His purpose, to glorify the Lord. Jesus said in John 16, 14, He will glorify me and take what I've given Him and declare it unto you. The Holy Spirit is to his job, his ministry, his mission is to bring honor and glory and blessing to the Lord Jesus. And by the way, isn't that our mission? Amen. Isn't that our mission? So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify God. And you say, "Well, what does that mean specifically for me?" John 5, 35. Jesus is talking here about John the Baptist. And he says, "He," John, "was the burning and shining lamp. And you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light." John, hey, how many, you're about to see some of these. Y'all know what a Roman candle looks like when it goes off? I mean, John was a burning, on fire Roman candle. He burned brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shined like the sun in a dark world. As far as we know, John never wrote a book. John never performed a miracle. As far as we know, John never healed anyone. John never spoke in tongues. But I tell you what he did do. He pointed people to Jesus. And if you're going to do anything, do that. Point people to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Are you burning? Do you have a burning deep down in your spirit? Amen. Before you can burn, you got to catch fire. And if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, He will supply the fuel for you to catch fire and shine for God in this dark generation that we live in. Andrew used to sing this old song, "Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire." Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Some of you old folks that say you love the hymns, come on. Hallelujah. Now, let me close with this. Don't check out on me. Timothy Stagpole was a New York firefighter back on January, early January of 2001. He went into a burning building up in New York City. And while he was in this burning building, a huge beam fell from the ceiling and knocked him out in the floor. And it was several minutes before his firefighting buddies could find him and get to him. And when they got him outside, man, a lot of his body was burnt. And over the next few months, he had several surgeries, skin grafts, rehabilitation. But finally, by August of that year, he was ready to be recommissioned into the New York City Fire Department and become a firefighter again. And so his superior officers were meeting with him, and they said, "Now, Tim, you have paid the price big time as one of our firefighters, and we're willing to offer you an early retirement and get full disability." And Tim said, "No, I don't want to do that. I want to go back to work." And they said, "Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to go back to work, we can give you an administrative job. We can give you an office job, and you won't have to go back and fight fires." And he said, "No, sir, that just won't work." He said, "Man, I got to go back. It's my calling to go back." And so they reinstated him, and his first day back was September the 11th of 2001. And his first call was to the World Trade Center. And Tim Stagpole was one of the very first ones to head up the stairs in that World Trade Center. And he died trying to save lives. My brothers and my sisters, this is our calling. We've been given a ministry. We've been given a message. We're on mission. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do in us what He wants to do for us. Amen. And become all God wants us to be. Amen. And if you're here this morning and if you're saved, you're born again, you've got God's Spirit, when are you going to give up control of every area of your life and surrender, yield, and submit to His leadership in your life? If you'll do that this morning at an old-fashioned altar right there in your seat, wherever it is, you know what God will do? He'll prepare you for ministry. He'll provide you with a message, and He'll give you a purpose in your mission. He'll do it. He said He would. That's our calling. That's who we are. I want to pray for each one of us as Andrew comes. Would you just bow your head with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Can I ask you just a real personal question? When's the last time you shared Jesus with somebody? When is the last time you shared Jesus with somebody? Yesterday? This past week? When was it? If we don't tell them, who will? Father, I want to pray right now with all of my heart for my brothers and sisters. Most of the folks in here claim allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. We say He's our Lord. We say He's our Savior. God, get us to the point where we are willing to surrender all and become the witnesses that You want us to be. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. We're going to open up this altar in just one moment. This is a place where you can seek the Lord's face, repent, turn from anything that God's not happy with in your life. Well, I'm worried about what so-and-so. Don't you dare worry about what so-and-so might think. All you need to worry about is what is God saying to you. And the altar's open. If you need salvation, man, we'd love to share with you how you can leave here born again and saved with the Spirit of God in your spirit. God, please, even now, on this hot June morning, God, would we begin to burn? Would You put a message deep down in our bones for people to be in relationship with Jesus Christ? Oh God, our community's counting on us. Help us to put first things first. A lot of other good things we can accomplish and focus on, but God, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is pointing people to Jesus. If you're here this morning and you'd like to pray, or you need help with some decision in your life, we're just going to ask you to get up out of your seat. If you won't get up out of your seat in here, what makes you think you're going to get up out of your seat out there? Father, bless this time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.